Chapter 3. Since hunter slumber parties obviously aren't going to work out, Stiles drops the twins back at their hotel on his way back to the Argent house. They get out of his jeep and slam the doors so hard that the whole car rattles. He rolls his eyes but doesn't comment. Allison drops Veruca off as well, but Wednesday opts to come back to the house with them. She doesn't exactly look happy about it, but then again, Stiles isn't sure she's actually capable of looking happy, so he decides to take it as a compliment. Nobody is pleased to see the twins and Veruca show up the next day, dropped off by their parents around 11 o'clock in the morning, so the adults can do adult things at the hotel, and the kids can hang out together. Stiles and the Argent kids have set up camp in the backyard, with Wednesday hanging on their outskirts, and have been discussing weaponry. Stiles has been showing Buff McHunky all the different tools on his Leatherman, and he thinks that if Grabby says, "Let me see that," one more time, he's going to get stabbed. Possibly not on purpose. Stiles keeps his tools sharp and his knives sharper. "Are you blind or something?" he asks the young teenager, as a kid pulls the screwdriver tool about 2 inches from his face to examine it. "No," he says defensively, and moves the tool out to a more reasonable distance, but there's a definite squint to his eyes now. Allison makes an annoyed noise and bats his hand down, then holds up her own at the same distance, with 3 fingers raised. "How many fingers am I holding up?" she asks, and then rolls her eyes. "Geez, I feel like Coach Finstock." "He never bothers to ask," Stiles says, amused. Grabby squints harder and leans forward the tiniest bit, hoping nobody will notice. 3? He says, but it's definitely a guess. "Sometimes he does," Allison says to Stiles. "But then he informs you of what the answer should be." She puts her hand down, resting her bow across her legs. "Do you have glasses?" Now embarrassed, Grabby Hands rubs his hand over the back of his head. "Yeah, but my parents don't like it when I wear them. They say it betrays a weakness. I have contacts, but I hate wearing them. So, usually I just squint a lot." Across the yard, Freddy Bobsy lets out a quiet snort of derision. Allison turns and looks over her shoulder. "Hey, shut it, douche nozzle," she says, and Stiles lets out a quiet snicker. Allison has been hanging around Erica too much if she's picking up language like that. Then she turns back to Grabby, wishing Scott was there. He's better at this sort of soft handling of people. "Well, right now your parents are nowhere to be seen, even if you could see. So why don't you go get them? Because personally, I'd rather betray a weakness like needing glasses than have a weakness like not being able to see." Scott is so much better at this. She's afraid she sounds sort of preachy. "Nah, they're a few years out of date anyway," Grabby says, and then quickly changes the subject by asking Stiles what his favorite weapon is. "Baseball bat," Stiles says immediately, although a far more accurate answer would be to point at Allison and say, "Her." "Well, and my .38 is backup, but gunshots draw attention, and a lot of the time it's better to avoid that." Hunk, who's sprawled loose-limbed in a lawn chair, sits up at that.
"Isn't that getting a little close?"
"Hey, think of the action is the place to be," Stiles says with a shrug. "And I'm not a marksman like Allison. Besides, it's silver-studded. That will send most wolves running with their tails between their legs." Another snort and a spate of giggles from the twins. Stiles ignores them. Allison looks at them and then looks at Stiles.
"I'm going to have to kill them soon. You realize that, right?"
Stiles gives a little shrug. "Not my circus, not my monkey." "What a prissy attitude to take," Allison says, pursing her lips and tapping her fingers against her brow.
"What does that even mean?" Grabby Hands says, sounding baffled.
It's the literal Polish translation of the phrase, not my problem, Styles tells him.
Why do you know that?
Hunk asks, although Wednesday appears to be committing the phrase to memory. Styles shrugs again.
Why not?
He looks at Allison and says, you, my darling dear, need to blow off some steam.
That perks Allison up.
Ooh, cuddles or violence? I pick violence.
Of course you do, Styles says, amused.
Grabby Hands looks at the others and says, it's like they have their own language.
Buff gives a snort of laughter. Couples are like that sometimes.
Allison bounces out of her seat and sets her bow down on the glass patio table with care.
Rules?
Styles is about to reply when Hunky says, wait, are you two planning to spar? You might not want to.
Why not?
Styles asks, mystified.
Because the tournament is going to be tomorrow, Hunky says. Some people don't like to, you know, give away an advantage beforehand, allow people time to think about the best way to fight against you, or give them time to prepare.
Allison shrugs and eels out of her quiver of arrows.
Okay, so the rules are not to pull out all the stops. I think we can manage that.
Yeah, take it easy on me, Styles says, laughing. I didn't sleep very well. You'll probably kick my ass.
Allison moves out onto the open grass.
I always kick your ass, she says, but her tone is playful, without the bite she's been throwing at the twins and the others who have occasionally annoyed her. And you know you don't have to stay here. You live in town. You could go home to your own bed.
To Derek, she thinks, but that part is left unspoken.
And miss a Papa Argent sanctioned opportunity to sleep in your bed? Styles smirks at her.
I think not, my fair lady. He's aware of the twins watching them now, clearly ready to see what they can do in a fight. He rolls his eyes a little and pulls his shirt over his head. No sense in letting Allison get a handhold.
Ha! Huh.
Allison pulls an elastic out of her jeans pocket and uses it to pull her hair into a bun for the same reason as Styles took off his shirt. She could strip out of hers, too. She's not afraid to fight in her bra in front of the audience. Being in a wolf pack pretty much kills all sense of body shyness anyone can have, but leaving it on gives her something to eel out of later.
Well, now I know why you're really attending this party. It's just to get into my sheets.
Styles lets out a snort of laughter, unable to help it, because it's so untrue, and they both know it. Scott's immediate declaration of interest in Allison, the moment she showed up in their lives long ago, made Styles place her into a category containing complete non-sexual entities, like his grandmother, or a lamp.
Nice tat, Wednesday says, admiring the one on Styles' back, in between his shoulder blades.
Nice scars, McAbcrunch says, surveying the damage laid out across Styles' skin. Styles glances down. He still jokes about the tic-tac-toe board he has on his stomach, but there are a few other scars, too, on his arms and one across his shoulder. He had expected that, but hadn't thought about the tattoo. It's so new. He only got it a few months previous. It's a symbol of Derek's design, similar to the triskele that the Hales used as their pack symbol. Danny, being the newest member of the pack, had asked him about it, and once Styles realized its significance, he decided they should have marks of their own. Derek had designed it, and Styles had gotten it on his 18th birthday. His father likely would have given him permission to get it sooner, but Styles tries not to traumatize him too much. His is on his back, in the exact same spot that Derek has his triskele. His Lupa had gotten the new tattoo on his chest, just over his heart. Over the spring months, most of the pack had gotten their own. Allison's is on her ankle, Scott's is on his hip, Boyd's is on his upper arm. Lydia's is just over her left shoulder blade, while Danny's is over his right shoulder blade. Erica and Isaac don't have them yet, because they're still 17. Erica has whined copiously at her parents about this, but they have refused to budge.
Yeah, thanks, he says to Wednesday.
It's some ancient Sumerian symbol, supposed to protect me or something like that.
Wednesday almost has a facial expression and says, in that case, I hope the scars came first, or you got ripped off.
Most were before, Allison says. Just imagine how bad the others would have been without it, though.
In a way, it's not a lie. The symbol is a protection. It makes the entire pack feel stronger, more connected. It might be completely psychological, but it makes all of them feel good to have that physical symbol of their connection. Since Erica and Isaac aren't allowed to have tattoos yet, Derek found a jeweler to make them each a pendant to wear instead. Erica's is small, delicate, a gold pendant on an equally thin gold chain. Isaac's is heavier, and he strung it on the same cord that they wore their protection charms on.
That's what happens when you don't use ranged weapons.
Now, wait a second, Styles says, laughing. I'll cop to these two, he says, drawing his fingers over the two thick scars Callie left him with. Being because it was an up-close fight. But these two? He continues, tracing the ones that crisscross the others. That was just me being completely flat-out ambushed in a grocery store parking lot.
Well, that'll teach you to buy groceries when there are crazy people in town,
Allison replies with mock severity. Styles shakes his head in amusement, but then looks at Buff. Seriously, though, you look really surprised. Don't you have any scars?
I am really surprised. I have a few scars, but none like that. None that look like something tried to remove my organs.
Hunky gives a shrug.
I go on hunts, yeah, and I've been in the field. But I'm only just at the end of my training. The chances that I would have gotten close enough to something that could do that to me are small.
Yeah, well, I basically got thrown in the deep end, sink or swim style.
Styles grins at him, showing teeth despite himself.
Welcome to Beacon Hills.
With that, Allison comes at him full force, foot first. He actually laughs as he swings around to deflect the kick. Hand-to-hand combat isn't exactly his forte. Although, to be fair, it's not Allison's strongest suit either. But he enjoys it on occasion. Derek had been absolutely merciless with all of them about physical training. Perhaps even more so with the vulnerable human members of the pack than the others. Styles sustained more than his fair share of bruises and even a few breaks during learning how to protect himself. But Allison does take it a little slow, both because Styles asked her to and because she doesn't want to give all their skills away to the watching twins. She's not sure if the tournament will allow them to have weapons. She's better in a knife fight, and Styles is better with a bat or a club or even a bow staff. But they trade blows for a while and then grapple, and then she shrieks when Styles starts tickling her in the ribs. No fair! No fair! She protests, trying to get a knee up into his groin because fuck a fair fight, that's why. But he does let her go, and when she smacks him upside the head, he doesn't make a move to block her, just grinning merrily at her, because he's having a good time. Really. Allison is still laughing. Oh my god, you are so bad! But she's feeling better now, much more relaxed.
I can second that, Freddy says dryly from his side of the yard, and Allison's good mood vanishes instantly. But Styles is still smiling. He gets up and walks over to them.
See these? He says, tracing the scars Callie left on his abdomen.
I got them from Callie, the leader of the Alpha Pack. Do you know why I got them? Because I was protecting Derek Hale.
It's not exactly accurate. The timing is a little incorrect. But it's the best he can do without revealing that he was the Alpha being tested. And it certainly gets the point across. Allison stands alone for a moment, because they may be fake dating, but that's not the same sort of unit that the pack is. But then the instincts that come with the pack bond kick in, and her alpha is moving too close to a person that she knows to be unpredictable. Unless one counts the fact that he can be relied on to be a jerk and inappropriately violent. So she paces up to stand next to Styles, rests her forearm on his shoulder, as if she's just watching the show. Normally she would stop him, since he's the alpha, but here they have to be seen as no less than equals. Freddy doesn't seem to know how to respond, and there's a beat of uncomfortable silence. Styles waits until he starts to snap out something uncomplimentary, and then interrupts him before he can get more than two words out. "Furthermore," he says, "I'm proud of these scars, because I don't have to have known you for more than 2 days to know that Derek Hale is a better person and far more of a human being than you will ever be. And if I hear you insult him again, you are going to spend the rest of this conclave with your jaw wired shut. Am I making myself clear?" "Please, insult him," Allison says. "I'm begging you." Freddy is on his feet now, along with his sister, looking more and more like they stepped out of some horror movie. His face is twisted in an expression of rage. "You can't fucking talk to me like that," he snarls. "Do you have any idea who I am?" "No," Styles says, "and I don't care. Are you from some big, bad hunting family? Are you going to threaten to come here and wipe us all out? I've heard it before, and from people a lot fucking scarier than you." Before Tweedledum can reply and the situation escalate even further, Styles' head jerks around. There's a rustle in the bushes off to his right. He hears it a moment before everyone else. But then a pair of werewolves emerges from the trees and catches everyone's attention. They're big ones, already in their partially shifted form, a man and a woman. "Well, well, well," the woman says, in a voice that's low and amused. "What have we here? Baby hunters, it seems." Allison's already moving towards her quiver. She had started as soon as Styles had moved to look at something she hadn't heard yet, because she knows how to take cues from people with better senses. The arrows are slung over one shoulder, and she has one knocked, bow drawn and arrow aimed, as soon as it's in her hand. She aims at the man. If the woman is talking, she's more likely the distraction. She moves to get a better angle, casting a lightning-fast look at her alpha. All the other teenagers have drawn as well, except Grabby Hands, who's still sitting in the grass. Even Wednesday has a knife in her hand. Hunk has a .45, and the twins each have what Styles cautiously identifies as a Browning. He's not as familiar with heavier firearms. He opens his mouth to say something, but Freddy opens fire before another word can be spoken, and everything dissolves into chaos. Allison takes a split second to place Wednesday and notes that she's on her feet near the house and that Styles is close enough to her to preempt any attack she might make or get caught in. Then she lets the tension off her bowstring, moving as fast as she can over to Grabby Hands, snagging him by the back of the shirt, then hauling him to his feet and dragging him over to Fab Abs. "Don't shoot," she says, planting herself in front of them. "For fuck's sake! And I'll do the talking when we see who's left alive."
"Do you know them?"
Hunk asks, shouting to be heard over the noise of the gunfire. Freddy's gun has already been torn out of his hands, but Flossie still has hers. The wolves have been hit a couple of times, but they're not slowing down very much.
"No, they're not locals,"
Styles yells back. He's thinking now might be a good time to take a vacation. It's not good form to kill other werewolves just for showing up. But then again, how stupid did they have to be to attack a bunch of hunters? Even teenagers. Allison agrees in principle, but the twins opened fire and turned what could have been a nasty conversation into a potential bloodbath. "Styles?" she calls, irritated that she can't see him easily anymore, but needing permission to handle this on his behalf.
"Take him!"
Styles shouts back. He doesn't dare get involved himself. Not only is it a little above his level, but if he gets more than a paper cut, odds are very good that Derek will show up. Allison draws again and waits for the second gun to get knocked out of play. The instant it leaves Flossie's hand, she lets fly and is already knocking a second arrow and releasing. The first shot takes the male werewolf through the knee. The second gets the woman in the shoulder. Both are shots designed to slow movement and damage joints, but obviously not kill. She steps forward, another arrow ready on the string. The next person that moves, I will cripple, and that includes the humans here. I will shoot your fucking knees out. Now, do I have your attention? The female werewolf snarls at her. The male just whines as he pulls the arrow out of his knee, but doesn't make any threatening moves. Freddy goes for his gun despite Allison's statement, but Hunky lunges over and grabs it. Do you think she's fucking kidding? He growls, getting an arm around Freddy and putting him in a headlock. Allison gives a huff and says, thanks. Although she would have preferred to mete out her own discipline. But when the wolf snarls, she just shows her own teeth in response, unfazed. Now, you two, you are unwelcome here. This is not your territory. You have no business being here, and you will leave, or there will be consequences. Their behavior, she adds, canting her head to indicate the twins, was uncalled for and out of proportion to the act of you merely showing your faces, so any injuries they sustained will be forgiven. But you will get out of here. Now. The woman gives another snarl, breaking the arrow in half so she can remove it more easily. Her companion gives a little whine and starts backing towards the forest, clearly ready to make a retreat, but not wanting to leave without his partner. After a moment, she apparently decides her own injuries are not as forgivable and lunges forward to where Hunky has Freddy pinned. Before Allison can loose her arrow, Stiles rises from a half-crouch, his hand making a broad arc in front of him. Liquid leaves a tiny vial that he's got tucked away in his palm, glittering silver in the sunlight before it splashes into the wolf's face. She howls and staggers backwards, clawing at her face. I think my girlfriend told you to leave, Stiles says. You'd better get out of here before she changes her mind about letting you. Whimpering, the female werewolf turns and runs into the forest. Her companion is right behind her. Seeing their retreating backs, Flossie's eyes light up and her breath starts to quicken. She reaches for her gun, but then lets out a gasp of pain as Stiles' boot slams down on her fingers. Your enemy is defeated, he says. What are you going to do? Shoot them in the back? Allison swings around, her arrow still knocked. What is wrong with you two? Her tone and expression demand an answer. She clearly doesn't mean it as a rhetorical question. Sullenly, Flossie says, they came to pick a fight. They should be willing to accept the consequences. Well, this isn't your territory, so you have no right to decide if they get one or not. And speaking of consequences, if this upsets the truce with the local pack or turns into some sort of war, I hope you two are willing to accept the consequences because I'll make sure they land right at your feet. By this point, Ab's grip on Freddy has loosened up enough for him to push free. He gives the older man a dirty look and snaps, It's tradition that when party crashers show up at the conclave, they can be used as target practice. Oh, cool. Stiles says, it's tradition in Beacon Hills that when stupid people show up, I get to put my foot up their ass. There's a pregnant pause. Not so much fun when I'm the one making shit up, is it? Hunk and Grabby Hands both let out a snigger, unable to help it. Then Stiles calmly picks up Flossie's gun, unloads it, checking the chamber for any bullets. He takes Freddy's and does the same thing, while both of them shower him with protests and profanities, to which he pays no heed. Well, I don't trust you two not to go after them and make more trouble, he says. Allison, what do you think we should do with them? She gives each of them a frozen, disgusted look. Tell my father. He's in charge here, not me, and he needs to know what's happened. Okay, why don't you keep an eye on the two of them, and I'll go give him a call. Tweedledee growls at him and says,
You'd better stay right here while you call him, so I know what bullshit line you feed him.
Hey! Allison snaps, putting her arrow back in the quiver and using the end of her bow to tap his jaw.
How about you shut your mouth? She suggests, with the obvious, before I shut it for you, left unspoken.
Styles just rolls his eyes and takes out his phone. He has Chris in his phone book and has no problem letting the Wonder Twins listen to his side of the conversation.
Hello, Mr. Argent. Sorry to bother you when I'm sure you're so busy, but we've got a bit of a problem here.
No, nothing like that, he says, and laughs, leaving the others wondering what Chris said. A couple of betas showed up and picked a fight. There was a disagreement about how to handle it. Was wondering if you could head back here to mediate.
A long pause.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
A very long pause.
Shit, I don't know. The twins. Yeah, I'll get right on that. But really, you should have provided name tags.
Silence.
Yes, Mr. Argent, I will make sure to keep my opinions to myself in the future.
Aw, come on now. I don't even know what that word means.
Okay, yes. Uh-huh. Okay, see you then.
He hangs up his phone and slides it back into his pocket.
He'll be here in 15 minutes.
What word could my father have possibly used that you didn't know the meaning of? Allison asks, amused.
I think I'd better not repeat it, Styles says. There are children present.
Grabby Hands and Wednesday both make a face at him, but it doesn't last long before Grabby says,
That trick you used was cool. It was like holy water on vampires.
Yeah, wolfsbane extract, Styles says with a nod. Stings like a bitch if you get it onto exposed skin.
It's something that Styles came up with, Allison says. Just bottling it up for plain use like that. Have to be careful, though, because if you get any on yourself and don't clean it up fast enough, it'll poison you, too.
Uh-huh. Beefcake frowns slightly. I'd think it would be more useful in a water pistol or a spray gun. Yet you're just carrying a vial of it?
Yep, Styles says, giving him a pleasant smile.
But you weren't carrying it in case of werewolves.
Styles gives a casual shrug.
Allison looks between the two of them. She's torn between laughing at the fact that Styles was actually going to poison the twins, or pout that now it won't happen. Presuming that Styles is only carrying one vial of wolfsbane, which is a rather dangerous presumption to make. Beefy and Styles just have a long staring contest for a minute. Styles doesn't flinch. Finally, Beefcake drops his gaze and looks away.
Jesus, this town is crazy, he mutters.
Hey, it's not that bad right now, Allison protests.
That's the craziest part of all, Buff replies.
Barely another moment has passed before Styles' phone rings. He glances at the screen, makes a little grimace, and then picks it up.
Hey there, Sheriff! No, everything's fine. Yes, no, I swear!
A pause.
Yes, even by your definition of the word. Chris Argent is on his way here to make sure it doesn't happen again. I'm sure he'll be thrilled.
Okie dokie.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Sheriff Stilinski? Allison asks, when he hangs up, and he gives a brief nod.
Neighbors must have reported the gunfire then.
Yep, Styles says.
He's gonna call your dad and talk to him about it.
Allison's grimace matches Styles.
That's bad, huh?
Grabby Hands ventures nervously.
Well, Styles says, Sheriff Stilinski doesn't like getting calls about gunfire in residential neighborhoods. He's probably going to call up Mr. Argent to find out who, if anyone, should be arrested.
Oh boy, Buff says. But he's in the know, right? I mean, we can say werewolves showed up and he'll understand.
Yes, Styles says. He will understand. That does not necessarily mean he'll approve.
Right,
Freddy says, his tone snide. Because he's on their side. Didn't you guys read about when Gerard Argent tried to get him out of the way because he was helping the local pack?
Allison flicks a nervous glance at Styles. There are fewer things that will rile him up faster than referring to that incident. Styles' jaw sets in a blank mask of an expression before he turns slowly to Freddy and says,
an event which resulted in a 25-year prison sentence and a funeral that nobody cried at.
Freddy's eyes narrow. Gerard Argent was a better hunter than you could ever hope to be. Gerard Argent was torturing Peter Hale because he needed an alpha's bite to cure his cancer. Styles snaps back. He wanted to become a werewolf, so maybe you should have a nice hot cup of shut the fuck up about things you know nothing about.
This seems to render the twins speechless. Actually, everyone looks surprised.
That can't be true, Hunk stammers. Gerard was...
Styles looks at Allison and says abruptly, I need to take 5. Keep an eye on them. He gives the order without thinking and turns on one heel and walks away. Allison just nods in response, not questioning for a moment. This generates even more surprise, and she realizes a little too late that their interaction was the exact opposite of how they've been trying to act for the last 2 days. It's a little too late to do anything about it, so she just shrugs at their looks and says, he gets like that sometimes. Nobody seems to know what to say to that, so they sit in awkward silence for a little while. Styles comes back a few minutes later, visibly calm, and gives a brief nod to Allison when she gives him a questioning look. Only a minute after that, Chris Argent comes into the backyard. The hunter looks pissed as hell. Someone explain to me why I got a call from the sheriff about gunfire in my backyard, he snaps. Allison stands up. A couple betas showed up, and the twins, now both of the twins are on their feet too,
defended ourselves,
they say in unison. Shut up, Chris snaps at all of them. He surveys the group of teenagers, and then stabs a finger at Wednesday. You, tell me what happened. Facts only. Wednesday gives a slow nod. We were sitting in the backyard when 2 betas came out of the woods. They hadn't quite entered the yard yet. One of them said something about baby hunters. Both the twins opened fire. She proceeds to give a very detailed, thorough description of the fight that had followed, showing a surprising grasp of tactics. Chris gives her a nod when she's finished. Thank you, he says. He turns to the twins. First things first, weapons are required to be peacebound and unloaded at the conclave at all times. I do not make exceptions for anybody. So that's one rule you've already broken. And don't try to tell me that you didn't know about it. Secondly, what the hell do you think you're doing, opening fire in a residential neighborhood? The people next door are less than 50 yards away. Did you think that they wouldn't call 911? Thirdly, I don't care what rules you play by when you're on your home turf. This is my territory, and I am an Argent, and we adhere to the code. You are not going to make any sort of strike against a werewolf unless you are defending yourself and preemptively firing at someone who's made a snide comment as to your age and ability does not count. If that happens again, you are going home. And that is straight from your father. I spoke to him on my way here. And if that isn't incentive enough, you've got 2 strikes with the sheriff of this county, whom you will respect. And he says that if you get a 3rd, he's going to toss both your asses in lockup and leave you there at least 12 hours to see if you're capable of learning your lesson. In the meantime, since you obviously can't be trusted on your own, you're coming back to the hotel with me to attend those lectures and demonstrations that you so copiously complained about not wanting to attend. That was also your father's decision. So if you have a problem with it, take it up with him. He takes a deep breath as the twins gape at him in a combination of shock and dismay. Then he rounds on Allison. And you, young lady, you should know better than to let them provoke you like that. If you want to be a hunter, you're going to be dealing with people like them who don't follow the code your entire life. Sometimes you'll have to work with them. Get used to it. I'm not saying you were wrong to call me, but you should be able to handle this sort of situation yourself without resorting to threatening to blow out someone's kneecaps. Allison's jaw sets unhappily, but then she nods and says briskly, "Yes, sir, I understand." Chris nods at her, and then gentles the lecture by giving her shoulder a squeeze. Then he turns to Stiles. "As for you," he says, and then lets out a low growl. "I don't know why I bother, but I will remind you that I allowed you to attend this conclave with my daughter on the understanding that you would not cause me any trouble. I can still change my mind." Stiles nods and echoes Allison. "Yes, sir." "Good. You two, with me." Chris gestures to the twins, who reluctantly rise and follow him. Once they've left, Stiles lets out a huff of breath. His tension level is far too high, and it doesn't look like Allison's is much better. He hadn't anticipated how much stress being separated from the pack was going to generate. He wraps an arm around her waist, feeling the rigidity in her back, and says, "You and I need some alone time." Allison gives a short nod, so Stiles turns to the others and says, "Hey, entertain yourselves for a while. We'll be back in a few hours." "A few hours?" Beefcake can't help but grin. "I admire your stamina." Stiles gives him a salute before tugging on Allison and leading her back into the house. Behind him, he hears Grabby Hands say, "What? What does that even mean?" And Beefcake replying, "I'll tell you when you're older." Allison doesn't speak again until they're in the Jeep. Then she lets out a groan. "I don't know why my temper is so short," she says. "Because you're separated from your pack and you're separated from your mate," Stiles says. "It hasn't been any easier for me. Also, those two do have a knack for picking which buttons to press. We need some downtime. Let's go back to Derek's. I can take a nap and you can Skype with Scott. Just don't let him see how stressed you are, or he'll try to talk you into saying he can come back." Allison gives a weary nod and pushes her hands through her hair. Stiles puts the key in the ignition, hesitates, and then says, "Hey, you drive. I need to call my dad and find out how long I'm grounded for." She laughs, despite herself, and they switch seats. Stiles climbs into the passenger seat and takes out his phone. He dials a moment later and opens with, "Hey, Dad," to indicate he's in a position where he can acknowledge his father's existence. Sheriff Stilinski replies with, "Stiles, what the hell is going on?" "This conclave thing is going a bit worse than anticipated," Stiles says. "Two of the teenagers are like little psycho wannabes. I swear, it's like if Kate Argent and Callie Steele had a love child or something." "Great. What are we doing about it?" "Chris is handling it, or at least handling it as well as he's able," Stiles says. "The conclave only lasts 4 more days. Then they'll be out of town. Maybe sooner if they don't shape up."
"Okay, keep me posted."
Stiles says he will, and then says, "Love you, bye," and hangs up. He lets the back of his head rest against the seat and stares out the window as Allison drives to the outskirts of town and onto the little road that leads to the Hale property. They have a remote that disables and opens the fencing around it. Sometimes it feels like living in a prison, but Stiles took care in the designs to make sure that the fencing isn't visible from the house they actually live in. Derek has clearly heard the approach of the Jeep on the bumpy dirt road because he's waiting on the front porch when they show up. Stiles is out of the car before it's even come to a full stop, and flings himself at Derek, wrapping his legs around the other man's waist. Derek actually has to take a step back at the force of Styles' tackle, hugging him tight and protesting, "Why are you always hugging me? Get off me." Styles just grins at the familiar refrain and presses his cheek into Derek's neck, enjoying the warmth of him, the scent of him. He actually feels a little drunk on it. He hadn't noticed exactly how badly the separation was affecting him. From the way Derek is burrowing his nose into Styles' hair, he isn't the only one. Allison approaches a little more slowly, but Derek welcomes her gladly enough, letting go of Styles with one arm so he can pull her into an embrace. She's never been his favorite person in the pack, but over the years they've come to an understanding. He wraps an arm around her shoulders and presses his cheek against hers. "You two look like shit," he finally says, when they've gotten the worst of it out of their system. "I missed you too," Styles replies. Derek lets out a snort. "Did someone miss their nap?" "And the last two nights of sleep, yeah," Styles says. "You, me, bed. Not in that dirty way. Wake me in 2 hours. And I mean it. None of this you needed more sleep mother hen bullshit. We can't afford to be gone longer than that, or someone will wonder where we went." Derek makes a face, clearly not approving of this. But he turns and goes into the house with Styles still clinging to him like a limpet. He has no trouble going up the stairs while supporting the teenager's weight, and dumps him on the bed. Styles is awake long enough to be aware of Derek pulling off his shoes and then curling up next to him, not bothering to shift because he doesn't want to take the time to undress. "You smell nice. Like paint and wolf and..." Styles murmurs, and then he's asleep.